All right, today we're continuing in this series called Kidnapped, and as a parent, here's what I want. I want to always be able to protect my kids, to be there to guard them, to be able to, when there needs to be a course correction, to speak wisdom into their life and say, hey, don't do that, do this, go this direction, don't make those decisions, make these decisions, don't hang out with those people, hang out with these people. I want to always be able to be there as a parent. The problem is, I can't. I'm not able to do that. And so we're looking at this series called Kidnapped, and the idea of how we can keep our kids from being pulled by culture, pulled by other influences, and influenced by the things that matter to us as parents. And so we started off, we asked three questions. The first question was this: what am I doing to build my relationship with my child? And I said this, that as a parent, your relationship with your kid will come before their relationship with God. For a period of time, your relationship with your child is more important than their relationship with God, because they will know you first. You are the one with the opportunity, the obligation, the responsibility to introduce them to Jesus. And what I encourage us to do as parents is to spend quantity time with our kids. Our culture says it a little different. They say, spend quality time with your kids. You know, work really hard. Save up for that really great vacation. And so take your 2 weeks of vacation and make it incredible. Make it memorable. Let them see a lot of things. Have a lot of experiences. Get the t-shirt. But I want to challenge us that you cannot schedule quality time. Quality time comes in those moments of life where your kids have something happen and they just need to share it, and you're there. Quality time happens in those deep moments where you see God move and you're together and you can say, okay, look, you can see our Heavenly Father moving here. You can see what God has done right here. You see how He's lined this up, and you can have those experiences. Quality time comes in those times where you're able to be transparent with your child, and open and honest, and there's those moments that we can't schedule. Even if Disney is the most magical place on earth, right? They can't schedule those moments. And those moments come in the midst of quantity time. As you spend a lot of time together, then all of a sudden, God has those quality moments pop up, and you're there, and you're ready. Your relationship with your child is one of the most important relationships they will ever have. So what are you doing to build that relationship with your children? Number two, we asked, what am I doing to advance my child's relationship with God? How are you transferring their faith in you as provider, protector, the one who makes good decisions and gives them direction to God, so one day they follow Him, and together as a family we follow Jesus? We build our foundation and our lives around what the Bible says. How are you building that into your kids? You have the most potential as a parent to be the person who leads your kids to Jesus. As a pastor of this church, that's what we want. I don't want to lead your kids to Jesus, right? I want to empower you as adults to be the spiritual leaders in your households so that you lead their kids to Jesus. When your kids have a Bible question, they come to you and you don't go, well, let's wait till Wednesday and talk to pastor about that. You instead go, okay, yeah, let's look into that. And you can text me, right? But I want them to come to you. I want you to be the one that they look to as a spiritual leader. And we teach our kids and we lead our kids by our actions. What do we prioritize? What matters to us? What are your kids catching from you? That they're saying, hey, mom cares about this. Dad cares about this. Orphans are important. Homelessness is important. Accepting people, loving people is important. What are you teaching with your words? They're hearing you say over and over again. And then what are they learning from your attitudes as you're modeling good and bad behavior? Because that's going to affect them for the rest of their lives. And then number three is the question I want to hang out on today is this: what am I doing to influence my child's relationship with those outside of the home? What am I doing to influence my child's relationship with those who will have input in their lives as they grow, as they mature, as they face challenges, difficulties, joys, and triumphs of life? Who am I making sure my child has a relationship with outside the home? If you've been coming here for a while, you've heard me say this proverb over and over again. If you live in my house, you've heard this proverb over and over again. Proverbs 13:20 says this: whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companions of fools will suffer harm. Has anybody here ever wanted a parenting redo? You just been like, man, I blew that. I'd like to start over. I'd like to try that. I've got several of those, right? When the movie 300 came out, my oldest boy was like six. I was like, yeah, this is probably a good man movie for us to go to. Yeah, I'm going to take him to see 300. He saw about half of the movie because the other half was my hand over his eyes, right, going, this theater's packed. I can't exactly sneak out of here, you know. So I'm just like, that was a parenting fail. He cried when Leonidas died at the end, you know. I was like, no, it was a good death. You know, we tried to explain that. Nate is my kid that's probably most like me. And Gideon came down one time and, you know, told him and said, Dad, Nate's upstairs praying. Like, he should be. I'm like, so? He goes, no, Dad, this is what he's praying. He's saying, Dear God, how come I'm not allowed to say damn it? Please let me say the word damn it. In Jesus' name, amen. At which I'm like, well, at least he's praying, right? I mean, like, we're getting somewhere, something working. And so, you know, Nate had this fascination with cuss words. And he's just like, we were talking about it. He's like, it's just not fair, Dad. I mean, why can't I cuss? And I'm like, well, buddy, we just control our tongue and we articulate better. And, you know, we use words to glorify God. And he's like, I don't understand. It's not fair. And, you know, he just kept beating me down. And finally, I pulled up my watch. I was like, all right, you got 30 seconds. 30 seconds free reign. You can say whatever you want and you're not going to get in trouble. He's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, it's going. And he's like, I'm not going to get in trouble. I'm like, you're down to 20. And he's like, okay. And this little six-year-old let loose the most profane amount of, he didn't get his 20 seconds. I was like, no, stop. I was wrong. That was bad. I should not have given you permission to do that. Where did you hear these words? I had to Google some words. I didn't even know what they were, right? I was just like, oh my gosh. So as parents, sometimes we make mistakes. And I got six kids, so I'm hoping by the time I'll mess up all my five first ones, that last one will be really, you know, good because I'll have made all the mistakes with the other ones. But here's what I want. When we talk about relationships, when we talk about our kids, I want this. I want my kids to be able to come to me with anything. Any problem, any trial, any fear, any doubt, any frustration, I want them to be able to come to me and share anything with me. And one of my biggest regrets as a parent is this. I know that there are some things they can't. And the reason they can't is because I'm dad. If your daughter came to me, said, Pastor, I need to talk. I'm in this relationship with this guy, and I really think I love him. And, you know, he wants to take things to the next level physically. And he's really, I feel kind of pressured to have sex, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I would sit down with your daughter, and we would open the Bible, and we would discuss. And we would talk about scars and regrets later on, and not pushing into things, and God's will and plan and perfect. And I would sit there. If my daughter came to me, I said, Dad, you know, this guy I'm dating, he's kind of pressuring me to have sex. Stop right there, baby. And I would go to the gun safe. And I would get the gun out. And I would get in the car. And my wife would be calling the police before I got there, right? Because I'm dad. There's a difference. There's a difference. There are some things my kids can't tell me. How many of you adults and teenagers look around? How many of you told your parents everything? Just one teenager's like, I do. I'm not going to call you out in church, girl. But, none of us did because there were things. If I had told my dad, he would have lost it. If I had told my mom, it would have been awkward, right? I mean, like, there's some things you just don't talk to mom about, and sometimes she pushes you to talk about it, and you're like, stop, don't, mom, no. But there's things, right, that I want my kids to be able to come to me because there is just bizarre stuff in culture. Bizarre stuff. Teenagers, you are faced with some of the most challenging times that most of us haven't walked. We never had text messaging. No one was able to send over the internet nude pics when we were growing up. he maybe had a Polaroid, but you know that wasn't used, right? I mean, it wasn't a thing. And so you guys are facing some things that we have never faced, and I want the church to be a place where it is safe for you to talk to people about this, for you to explore it, and for you to look at this. I want my kids to be able to come to me with everything, but I know that they won't always be able to. And so that goes back to that question, who are you building a relationship into your children's life that they are able to talk to when these weird things come up, when these challenging things come up? Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companions of fools suffers destruction. I want my kids to have wise influences around them. King Solomon was writing these Proverbs, collecting these Proverbs, handing them down to his sons, saying, look, this is going to be a guide for your life. He collects these. He wants to bless them to go forward. God in his wisdom and under the power of the Holy Spirit has preserved it for us today. And Solomon gives this to his son who succeeds him on the throne. Rehoboam follows him in the line of David, in the line of Solomon. Then comes Rehoboam. And if you have your Bible, open it up to 1 Kings chapter 12. And we're going to look at just a little glimpse of what happened to Solomon's son. Solomon had died. Rehoboam had become king. He was put on the throne, and the people came to him. And in 1 Kings 12, 4 through 11, this is how the story goes. The people came to him, and they said, your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the hard service, your father and his heavy yoke upon us, and we will serve you. And he said to them, go away for 3 days, then come again to me. So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men who had stood before Solomon his father while he was yet alive, saying, how do you advise me to answer these people? And they said to him, if you will be a servant to this people today and serve them and speak good words to them when you answer them, they will be your servants forever. And if the story ended there, it would be great. It'd be a happy story. Everyone could walk away and go, man, yes. Verse 8 happens. But he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men who he had grown up with him and stood before him. He said, okay, these guys have experience. They have wisdom. They advise my father. They know I'm going to ignore them and I'm going to follow the advice of my peers. Just for all of us here in this room, not just teenagers, right? Following the advice of your peers against the wisdom of the older generation is always dangerous. Listen to your elders. History repeats itself if we don't learn from it, right? He abandoned this. And then he said to his friends, he says this in verse 9, and he said to them, what do you advise we answer this people who have said to me, lighten the yoke that your father put on us? And the young men who had grown up with him said to him, thus shall you speak to the people who said to you, your father made our yoke heavy, but you lightened for us. Thus shall you say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. Which is a weird thing to say, right? I mean, that's kind of odd. And now whereas my father laid upon you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. And Rehoboam said, you know what? My dad did have skinny legs. And my little finger is bigger. I am more important. I am bigger. I'm going to listen to the advice of my friends. And he repeated these words to the people he was ruling. And the nation split. The nation that God had pulled out of slavery after 400 years. The nation who God had provided for after miracle, after miracle, after miracle, after miracle. The nation who God had showed up with angel armies of heaven fighting on their behalf. The nation where God had placed David, a man after God's own heart, on the throne and made the Davidic covenant that said, if one of your line will follow me, you will sit on the throne forever. This nation split down the middle. Civil war happened, and you had the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah. And it split because he abandoned the advice of the elders. Who are you building your child's relationship with outside the home that will be a good influence? I don't know this, but reading this text in light of what Solomon put down in Proverbs, this is what I think. I think Solomon did not spend enough time with Rehoboam building the relationship he had with the advisors. He did not spend enough time with Rehoboam saying, hey, spend time with these guys, get to know these guys, understand where their advice comes, understand where their education comes, understand where their wisdom comes. He didn't do that. He said, here's a book of good ideas, follow these guys, you know, I'm going to lay with my fathers in the tomb and good luck. And a lot of times as parents, this is what I see us do. We look at people and go, my kids don't need to hang out with them. I'm going to keep my kid from them. I'm going to keep my kid from them. They're a bad influence. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. A legitimate question for us as parents is this. Is there someone I need to dial out of my kid's life? Is there someone I need to protect them from? Is there someone I need to put boundaries? Is there a friend that every time they get together, they get in trouble? Maybe that's not a healthy friendship. Is there a person that because of the things that are going on in their life, and I'm not talking about your friends not being missionaries and not sharing Jesus with people and not loving people that don't have the same values. What I'm talking about is when your kid stops being a light and starts being influenced by the darkness, right? As parents, there's a lot of times we spend focusing going, I don't want you hanging out with that kind of person. I want to dial back that relationship. I want you only to be around church kids, or we put our kids in private school so that they're around good kids. And sometimes we do that. But I think a less asked, but maybe more important question for us in our culture, is there someone that I need to be dialing in to my child's relationship? Who does my kid need to be spending time with? Are you making it easier for your kids to have the right kind of relationships versus the wrong kind of relationships? Something we agreed on, and Crystal and I, a long time ago, is we don't ground our kids from church. It's tempting sometimes because they really like coming here, and sometimes they do really stupid things. And sometimes, you know, in order to restrict and punish and teach them, I want to say, hey, you don't get to hang out with your friends at church tonight. The problem is if I do that, I'm not building in those relationships that they need to have. I'm dialing those back. How many of you ever got grounded from school? Anybody ever ground your kids and be like, look, I know you like going to school. Your friends all hang out there. You're not going to school tomorrow because you got in trouble. Some of y'all wish, right? But that, I mean, we wouldn't do that as parents. That would be bad parenting. But I see and have experienced parents that are like, you can't go to church because you're in trouble. I want to encourage you as parents to not use that. But that's the place they need to be in relationship with other adults here that will pour into your kid's life. I was late, super late getting here for the first service today because my wife and I were fighting. Not like little fighting, like yelling at each other fighting, right? Like I left and she came back out and she went back in and I went back in because we have to resolve this before I go to church. And I just kept texting Jeremy, just keep singing, man, just keep singing. Yeah, keep it going, right? Well, I'll be there eventually. But here's the thing, it's like... There needs to be people in my kid's life that can say, hey, adults fight. Married people fight. It's not the issue of whether or not you argue or disagree. It's the issue of whether or not you resolve it and move forward, right? And my children need to see that. And my children need to be able to talk to other people about that. And it's hard sometimes with this position because I'm pastor. And I would like for y'all to think my marriage is perfect. No, there's never an issue, never disagreement. My kids never get in trouble. Nate got all his cussing out in that 20 seconds and has never cussed again, right? I would love for you to think that. But more important to me than my reputation is my children's future. And they need to have people in their lives that they can say, hey, my parents have really been fighting a lot lately. Because I tell my kids this. I say, look, for your mom and I, divorce isn't an option. All right, but that's off the table. That's not a word in our vocabulary. You know, we might kill each other, but we're not getting divorced, right? That's just not going to happen. But you know what their number one fear is when we start fighting and arguing? Is that mom and dad are going to split. And you know why they have that fear? Because they've seen it happen with their friends, and they've seen it happen. It's a norm in culture. And there needs to be other adults that can say, hey, yeah, parents fight. But your mom and dad love each other. Their character is built on the foundation of Christ. Their marriage is built on the Bible and what the Bible says about it. And even though they fight, they're going to stay together. There needs to be other people in their lives. We need to dial that up into our children's life. We have a little boy that's been coming here for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. And, you know, preschool, now into elementary school. And he just has been like really shut down, you know, since he's been coming here. But his grandma's been bringing him Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday night after Wednesday night. And in the last probably 3 months, I've seen this little boy blossom. I've seen him open up. I've seen him start allowing physical touch in his life and giving high fives. And so now on Wednesday night, he comes in and he jumps on my back, which is a whole nother, you know, you know, it's not easier, but it's good. I've seen him change because grandma's been faithful to bring him, and he's been faithful to see there's consistent adults in his life that are loving him and pointing to him to Jesus, that are safe places, that aren't going to hurt him, that aren't going to yell at him, that are going to love him and allow him to blossom and grow and learn about Jesus at his own pace. It's been good to see. Let me explain to you just clearly, what we do here on Sunday morning isn't babysitting over there. It's not childcare in our children's area. We are teaching them the foundational stories of Jesus, which are hugely important and has the power to change their lives. But beyond that, we are driving a relational stake with your children into the ground that they are connected with another adult that is saying the same thing you're saying, but in a different way. And that they can at one day talk to them because they won't be able to talk to dad about it. Because dad will freak out. And there needs to be other adults in my kid's life where I say, okay, you can't talk to me about this issue, Dad, I can't. I say, okay, who do we both know that we can agree on that you can talk to about this? Harold, I'm grateful for you in my kid's life, man. I'm serious. I'm grateful because I know you're here early, and they come early because they're preacher's kids, and when their parents aren't fighting, they're here early and not late. And so Harold talks to them about their week. And man, my dad is kind of on my case. And why is he on your case? Well, because I did this. Well, was that dumb? Well, yeah. They won't tell dad it was dumb, right? But they'll tell Harold it was dumb. I am grateful for that relationship. Not because I get to go to my kid later and go, I told you so. Even Harold said, right? I don't get to do that. What I get to say is, man, thank you for pouring in. Jay, you gave my kid some shoes. He comes home from school and cleans them. And you know what? I think this. I don't know this. I think when you gave them to him, you were like, hey, you got to take care of these. You got to make sure they look good. And he's like, man, I'm going to do this right. Now, the Converse I gave him, they're torn up and, you know, ratty and, you know, beaten up. But the ones you gave him look good, man. He comes home, shines them up. We need these relationships in our kids' life. Because I want my kids to be able to talk to me about anything. But I know, because I was a teenager, that there will be things that they just can't. It's too awkward. It's too hard. Dad just isn't going to handle this well. And so there has to be those other people in their lives. I went to a conference probably a year and a half ago, and Andy Stanley said this. He said, the church has to be the safest place in the world for children and teenagers to talk about anything, including same-sex attractions. And that's, you know, because I come from a Baptist background, and I was like, oh man, I don't know what we're going to do with this, right? How are we going to handle this? I agree with the statement, he said. The church has to be the safest place that they can talk about anything. And I said, when I came back from this, because I was processing it, and I said, man, I'm so grateful for Craig, who works with our youth. And I kind of left it at that. People came up to me afterwards, and was like, is Craig gay? And I'm like, no, he's married, he's got 3 kids. No, what I meant was, he's safe. Like, if you came up and said, Craig, I murdered somebody yesterday, he'd be like, okay, let's talk about that. I mean, he'd dig into it. He wouldn't be like, well, you know, whatever. He wouldn't freak out. He's a safe person who pours into our youth, and I'm grateful for that. And I feel bad for maybe making people think he was gay when I shared that. That wasn't the plan. And so I'm grateful for these people who pour into our kids' life. And I'm going to challenge you as parents to look at your children and say, who do they need to have a relationship with? Who do they need to know? Who do they need to spend time with that can help connect them to Jesus? Because life is hard. And teenage years are messy. And there is hormones and there is pressure. And some of it comes from us as parents. And then, you know, we get all that stuff happens. There needs to be these other people. Because there's going to come a time as a parent where you can't control the circumstances. And you can't control the choices. And you can't control the direction or the time that they spend with someone else. And there was a time where I used to pray, God, don't let my kids screw up. Don't let my kids screw up. Lord, let drugs and alcohol never enter their body. God, let them be wise. Let them do these things. And now my prayers are a little more realistic. God, if they screw up, when they mess up, let them be anchored to something, to someone who will lead them back to Jesus. Let them have those relationships that will help them. Maddie, thank you. Are you still 18? Or did you turn Tuesday, 19? And Maddie's 19, and she's in college, and she loves Jesus and wants to be a missionary, and she hangs out with our youth. And she's a 19-year-old who said, man, I'm coming to a big city, and there's lots of mega churches and famous preachers, and I'm going to go to a church plant because I want to serve and I want to work. Teenagers, she's an example. I want them to be rooted and chained to someone who will help them find Jesus. One of my favorite stories that Jesus told in the Bible is that of the prodigal son, right? Who, man, he gets sick of living under dad's rules and dad's ways. He says, I'm out of here. I'm going. Takes half of dad's money and he goes away to a faraway land and he squanders it. Winds up living in a pigsty, feeding pigs and starving. And I love the way Jesus tells the story. He says, when he came to his senses, he remembered his father's house and that it was good. And what we're doing here on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday night is we're driving a relational stake into the foundation that you're building into your children so that there will be someone that will help them remember how good God is. Because we've all done stupid things. We've all made mistakes. We've all done things and we're like, yeah, that wasn't good. And your experiences can be used to help somebody else either get out of that and come out of that or not go there in the first place. To drive that relational stake so deep in the foundation that when the current of culture pulls them off course, when the winds blow them to a place that they never expected them to be, and you as a parent said, man, this is my baby, I never thought. They will be chained to something, tethered to something that will allow them to come back home. To a God who loves them, to a heavenly Father who runs to them, who puts a ring on their finger and a robe around their body and says, look, it's not about the past, it's about being a child of God. Your sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ. We talk about driving a relational stake, and we see that Jesus did this with his own body, right? That as stakes were driven through his hands and through his feet, that as he was crucified, those stakes were driven that we might have a relationship with our heavenly Father. To anchor us, to point us toward heaven, that we can see God, that he is not distant, that he is not angry, that he loves us, and that he makes a way back for those who are far away from God to come back to him. And that way is Jesus. And as we build into your kid's life, we want on Wednesday nights and on Sunday morning and on some of the goofy fun stuff we do that it seems like this is just a church activity, it's just busyness, that we're building those relationships. They are intentional so that your children will have someone to talk to when they can't go to mom, when they can't go to dad. And when they pray, it doesn't seem like God answers. And they read the Bible, and it just seems like stories. But there's someone who will speak life and truth into them and point them toward their heavenly Father.